Yo, what up, guys? Nathan back once again with another episode of the Unplugged Freedom Podcast, where we unplug from the system to achieve maximum freedom. So, in today's episode, I want to talk about something that's a little bit more close and near and dear to my heart, and something that I find is very interesting in the world that we are living in today. And so, it has to deal with, let's say family, and let's just get into it, basically. So what happened was, the other day I was actually sad about my parents, and I haven't necessarily been sad about my parents for a little while, during, say, the week and day, and, you know, here and there, you do have those underlying feelings, but I'm talking about, like, being sad, like, really, like, diving into it and allowing it to happen. So I hadn't actually had that for a while. And let's say, for those of you who don't know, my parents passed away. My mom passed away in 2018, and my dad passed away, actually, just January, end of January last year. And so when something like that happens, You don't have to try to be sad. You're just sad. You don't have to think about it. It just happens at the most unwelcoming times. You know, you could be out grocery shopping and it just hits you extremely hard. You could just be, you know, waking up in the middle of the night. It's extremely, extremely hard. And that's actually one thing that I've found, that I would actually have dreams. And this is one thing. I would have dreams where I would see, let's say, my dad or both my mom or both my parents, and then in the dream I would see them, and for a moment I would actually be excited to see them, and then all of a sudden, like, I remember there was this one, I was in, like, a coffee shop or something, and I was excited to see my dad, and as I, you know, came to sit down, I realized that this isn't real. And in that moment of realization that this isn't real, there's this extreme amount of pain that is just hit. And it physically hurts. It's not just in the dream that it hurts. Like, you, as you're sleeping, it hurts. And then sometimes I'll even, like, wake myself up from it. So it's actually, it's very interesting. So I kind of noticed this it doesn't happen very often. Like, you know, maybe once every couple of weeks, maybe like once a month or something, I might have a dream like this. And it just tells me that there's some underlying things that, you know, you miss your family, you miss your parents, and you're at a point where you're able to kind of push it away. Not necessarily push it away in a bad way, like you don't want to think about it, but it just, in order to feel those feelings, you have to go after them. You have to stop and, like, really think about it. And so the other day I was having a good day. I was feeling good. I was, you know, you have one of those moments where you're just feeling on top of everything. You know, I was getting a lot of work done. I was cleaning my place, and I was looking out my window, actually, and it was, you know, it was snowing and everything. And I was just thinking, like, it's been a year since I've lived in this place that I'm living. And for those of you who don't know, I used to love living in cities. I've lived in Edmonton, I've lived in Brisbane, Australia, I've lived in Vancouver. Like, I've always been attracted to the cities, and moving to this small place, which is, I think, like 5,000 population or something, it was one of the biggest worries that I was wondering is, would I like it to live in such a place? 5 years ago, if you asked me if I wanted to live in a place like this, I would have said, no, you're crazy. I would never live in such a small town. No. I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm even like outside of town a little bit, so it's a little bit more rural. And you're away from everybody, and like it's crazy. So that's why you'll always hear me talk about like you don't know what you don't know. And that is something I always say. I have that belief, and so like I never would have known. But here I am, and I actually went to Vancouver a couple months ago for some holidays. And as much as I love Vancouver, and as much as I love the options that a big city does give you, I couldn't see myself living in a big city again. So it's very interesting because like 5 years ago, it was a completely different mindset. And so anyways, I'm looking out the window on this day and I'm feeling really good. I went for a run, I was accomplishing a few things, getting some tasks done, doing some projects, and I was feeling really good. And I was looking out the window and I was just like, I've been here for a year. I've lived in this place for a year. I've lived in this like the place that I'm living in, my house, and then like this little town I've been living for a year. I'm like, that's crazy. It's already been a year. And think of the year that we just had as well, right? Like when I first moved here, I got laid off from my job 2 weeks later. Like it was just right at the beginning of the pandemic and shit was just going sideways. And so we've had quite the year with a whole lot of stuff happen. And so anyways, there I am. I'm looking out the window. I'm kind of going through all this kind of stuff and I'm like, this is crazy. Like what? Like, look at where I am in life today. 5 years ago, and never would have been here. And what got me thinking was that what got me onto, say, thinking about my parents was that one thing that I realized after they passed away is that a lot of my life, it's not that I was living my life for them. It's kind of hard to describe. It's kind of like how would you say it? They were the people who I loved sharing the things that I was doing with, the things that I was accomplishing, the directions that I was going, and whether I was moving to another city, maybe I was, breaking up with a girlfriend, maybe I was, leaving a job, maybe I was getting another job, maybe I was going to another country, like whatever it was, like they were the people who I really enjoyed sharing that with. And then I didn't notice that until they were gone. And here I am kind of like doing all these things and that avenue is not there anymore, and you don't see it until, unfortunately, that it's not there anymore. So here I am living in this town and doing the things that I'm doing and working the job that I'm working and seeing the sights that I'm seeing and doing all this cool stuff and learning and growing and becoming and enduring through this this fucked up world that we live in. But the people that you want to share it with the most are not here. And that was really sad to me. And then I also, in that moment, I had realized that I hadn't actually like really been sad about my parents in a while. Like before I would kind of like put my kind of almost put like put time aside for it in a way. Like you would go after it. Because like I said, in the beginning, it just happens. You're just sad. And then that kind of teeters off and wavers down. So you would actually have to go after it and kind of pull those feelings out of you, and which I think is a good thing to do, because what that allows you to do is it kind of it's easy to kind of push things under the rug and sweep it off to the side and not think about it, and then kind of like get used to that feeling, but you don't actually know or realize that there's things that you've swept under the rug and you kind of got used to that. It's kind of like if somebody's eating unhealthy, like they're used to eating unhealthy. Like they don't know any different. They're like, "Well, I don't ever feel shitty after I eat McDonald's." It's like, dude, you're already fucking feeling shitty. Like, feeling shitty is your normal. Like, no wonder why you don't feel shitty after eating McDonald's. Shitty is your normal, dude. Like, try eating healthy for an entire week and then eat McDonald's. Like, watch what happens. So you kind of get used to your life. And that's why I say, like, when I have these dreams, like, they're very interesting dreams. Like I'm talking, they're always in that same kind of light where there's this realization after the excitement. There's excitement of seeing my parents in the dream, and then there's the realization that this isn't real. And then that hits me so hard. Like it's like a freight train, like just an incredible amount of pain. And it sucks. It really sucks. And I wake up from it, like feeling that big knot in your stomach of just incredible, like, sadness. And it's wild. So that's kind of like a telling that you have some things that are underneath, that you've swept underneath the rug. So anyways, there I am standing in the window. I'm, you know, kind of going through the past year of my life and where am I, what have I done? And realizing that, you know, the people that I want to share that with the most are not here. And then that's sad within itself. And then the realization that I haven't been sad for a while thinking about them and everything. And so I just kind of like went upstairs and like sat in my bed and going through photos, and you kind of pull it out of you. You pull the sadness out of you. And how you do that is completely up to you. You know, it can be done through meditation. It can be done through music. Music is usually one thing that I do. It can be done through, say, watching old memories, like photos, videos. It can be done through like a float tank, like a sensory deprivation tank, where you're left with only your mind. There's all kinds of ways. It can be, maybe it's going for a walk, you know, because maybe that was something that you used to do with your loved one. And whatever it is, it's completely up to you. But you go and do that task in order to go after and pull these feelings out that you've kind of like pushed away and put under the rug. So for me, music is a big thing. I actually have certain songs and that I listen to that have a lot of meaning to me, and they really like hit certain chords for me, and they really like drum up emotions for me. And so that's one thing. And then like another thing is just kind of like going through photos and videos. Like I have this one. I have this one video of my dad. He would always talk about these horses when we were driving like into town, and he's like, "Oh, where's the horses at?" You know, and he's like, "Oh, I don't see them." And he's like, "Oh, there they are." And see, there was two different ways you could take on this one road. You could go, you know, down one road. You go down the side of this one side of the field, and or you could go down this other side. And so I would always be on the lookout as to where they were, so that, you know, he'd, you know, get to look at them and, you know, comment on them. And so this one time, they were like really close to the, fence. And so we stopped. So I pulled in and then we stopped. And so I have this video of my dad, and he's so funny. He like, it's just the way he like taps the horse's nose. And that was one of like the last times I got to see him. Not one of the last times I got to see him, but that was last 2019. I 2020, 2019, I guess. I guess it was like summer of 2019, like around that time. And yeah, so as you can probably tell, like that video, that moment, it means a lot to me. And and also, like, on that road, my dad had dementia, so it was very hard. It was very hard with my dad, because he had dementia, and when I was there taking care of him, he didn't necessarily know that I was there taking care of him, because he didn't necessarily think that he needed taking care of. And that was the hardest part, because he was always just thinking that I was visiting. And he's like, oh, so when are you going to go home? When are you going to go back to Bali? You know, when are you going to go? And he just didn't understand that concept. And that was extremely hard for me, because he didn't necessarily understand what I was doing and why I was doing it. Because I left Bali, Indonesia, came back to Canada, and helped take care of him and stayed with him. And so he didn't understand that part. And that was very hard. That was extremely hard. And because he wouldn't necessarily, because he didn't understand it or understand what I was doing, there wasn't like a level of appreciation. And I always say I didn't do it because I wanted that appreciation. I did it because it was the right thing to do. I did it because, you know, he's my dad, and I loved him, and I'm 100%. I'm grateful to have had that time with him, because, you know, like, 6 months later he passed away. And so, having come all across from Bali, Indonesia, to stay with him, and I slept on his couch for 4 months before he was put into the hospital. I could have slept in the extra bedroom, but the bedroom was such a mess that I didn't want to clean it. And so I said, fuck it, you know, I'm just gonna sleep on the couch. And that's what I did for 4 months. And like I said, I didn't do it because I was looking for that appreciation or recognition for it. I did it because it was the right thing to do. I did it because that's what you do. I did it because in my time of need, and if you don't know my story about this, you know, my dad, there's a few podcasts, I think it might be on like the third or fourth one, that you can listen to. You can hear more about that story. And in my time of need, they were there. And so now it was my turn to kind of reciprocate that. And so, even though I didn't do it for the recognition, or to be like, oh, look at me, I'm such a good son, you know, yada yada, like nobody knew that I was doing this, basically, you know. And I say that in a way that I wasn't flaunting it. I wasn't posting photos, you know, and showing everybody. Because that's not why I did it. But it was hard to not have that recognition, especially from my dad, for him to see what I was doing, so that he could say thank you for what I was doing. But going back to these horses and this road, that road we were driving down one time, that same road that we saw the horses on. So we're going down that road, and and that we're driving, and he says, you know, he says, thank you for what you're doing. Because most people would have not did what you did. And it was the only time that he actually recognized it, and he said thank you. And like that, it just meant like the world to me that he could finally see it. Because when he doesn't see it and he doesn't understand it, it's extremely hard. But in that moment, he saw what I was doing, and he appreciated what I was doing, and it was a very, very special moment. So the reason that I wanted to talk about this is because of the world that we're living in. So my dad passed away, my mom passed away in summer of 2018, and then my dad passed away end of January 2020, before all this COVID bullshit started happening, and so in one way I'm kind of grateful. I'm kind of grateful that they're not here, just because of this fucked up world that we're living in. Like I wouldn't want them to be here going through this. Like, they were older, and, you know, like, I wouldn't want them to be going through the idiocracy that is going on in this world. So it's a double-edged sword. You're glad that they're not here to experience this shit that is happening in today's world. But then at the same time, you're sad because, well, they're not here, right? So it's a very mixed emotion kind of thing. And my dad passed away just before COVID like went. He was in the hospital. And I honestly don't know how I would be if he was still here and I wouldn't be able to see him. I would be furious. You know? So yeah, the why I bring this up is because where I live in this little town, a few weeks ago and a few months ago, they had an anti lockdown protest. The first one was bigger than the next one, but they had a couple of them. And so it's just a small little town, and there's like, I don't know, maybe like 100 people the first time. And I was like, that's cool. I'm glad that in a little town like this, way up where we are in the middle of nowhere, that we have at least some people who are like this. I didn't partake. One, because I didn't know about it. And two, we won't get into two. It's just the way our world works. I wouldn't be surprised if I got fired if I was seen at something like this. It's just the world that we live in. And so you have to look at the bigger picture as to what you want to accomplish in life. And so anyways, they had this lockdown protest, and I was like, yeah, that's cool. The local newspaper reported on it, and then they shared that story on their Facebook, and you should have seen the amount of hate towards these people. It was incredible. It was sad because you really saw just how brainwashed people are. it's incredible, and you're like, wow, like I've said many times, the zombie apocalypse is thriving like no tomorrow. Just take a look around. And the people in the protest, they weren't wearing masks or anything. There was the organizer, or whoever, they got fined, what was it, $3,500 or something like that. It's just crazy because of breaking protocols or whatever. And so the amount of hatred and what how this ties into like my family and everything, and is that there were people in these comments who were saying things just ridiculous, like, how dare these people put our lives at risk? We're trying to deal with this pandemic. Everybody's suffering. I haven't seen my family for almost a year because I'm trying to flatten the curve. And it's just like wow, like this is the mentality of the people that we are dealing with. You haven't seen your family in almost a year. For what? Like, for what? For a virus that has a 99.9 fucking percent survival rate? Like, did you know that 8 times more people died from cancer in Canada than COVID? But do you think people give a shit about cancer? No. Nobody cares about cancer. Poor cancer. If I was cancer right now, I would be fucking doubling down and saying, these motherfuckers want to ignore me. All right? I'm a fucking show them. And just double down. 16 times more people than COVID I'd go after. But that's the thing. You are 40 times more likely to die from something else other than COVID. And you're walking around just scared. You're not seeing your family for almost a year for something this ridiculous. Like, I know people who didn't have Christmas gatherings, who didn't have Thanksgiving gatherings. I know people right now, I have family who I can't see that are like hours away, just a few hours away, and I have a lot of time. I have the ability to go see them, but I can't. Why?
Because of COVID.
I'm like, oh, get out of here, guys. Like, if anybody should be dead from COVID, it should be me. Okay? I have fucking broken every single rule out there. Okay? And I've never felt better. Right? Never fucking felt better. And that's just the zombie apocalypse that we live in today, unfortunately. And it's just like, so here's these people. They have the opportunity. They have family who are 10 minutes away. They have family who are an hour away. They have family who are hours drive away. And they're not seeing them because of something so ridiculous right now. Yet they'll drive every single day on the icy roads to work. The other day we were at work. We went sideways on the road, literally sideways. It was just sheer ice. It was raining and it was frozen, and we went sideways. I was like, this is it. This is how I go. This is it. I'm like, wow. Would have thought I would have went much more exciting than this, but this is it. Literally sideways. Okay, big. Yeah, it's just fucking ridiculous. So people are driving in these conditions every single day, putting their life at risk. And yet they won't go see their family. It's just ridiculous. And these same people, this is the thing that like irks me, is that these same people who think they're all high and mighty, and they wear it as a badge of honor. That's the most fucked up thing ever, is they wear it as a badge of honor. I haven't seen my family for almost a year because I'm a good citizen trying to flatten the curve. Like, get fucked, okay? Meanwhile, that one person, on their way to work, guess what they do? On their way to work, driving on the icy roads, okay, they detour. So they're putting their life at risk just driving by itself. They detour. They've got to stop for a coffee. And stopping for a coffee, they're interacting with someone behind the counter who probably deals with hundreds of people a day. In a real pandemic, you don't do that. I'm telling you right now. They then go to work, okay, where they'll use the bathroom, touch other things that other people touch. They'll open the fridge to put their lunch in that all the office workers or everybody else has touched. Do you think everybody's sanitizing everything? Do you think everybody's washing their hands and using hand sanitizer? And do you think that all people are staying home when they're feeling a little bit ill? No. They're pumping themselves full of fucking over-the-counter drugs, going to work because that's how they earn their income. And they're trying to hide it from you, okay? This is reality. Not everybody's washing their hands. Not everybody's using the fucking hand sanitizer. Not everybody's following the rules like they should be. In a real pandemic, okay, any of the things that we are doing today would not fly. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So this person goes to work, does all this for 8 hours in a day. Meanwhile, don't forget, so is everybody else. Okay, think of all the other people who just came and grabbed a coffee before work and interacted with that one person who has interacted with hundreds of people. So you can see how this multiplies in just like, it's incredible. So then after work, or let's say during lunch, they mingle with each other during the lunch, keeping their 6 feet, right? And they're wearing their masks in between bites, you know, but meanwhile, just disregarding every other fucking bullshit that is within during their day. After work, they say, oh, you know what? I'll stop somewhere. Or let's say they go to the gym. They go to the gym. They go to the gym. They do their workout. They do all that stuff. Oh, but they clean it and they sanitize it. No, they fucking don't. They work for $8 an hour. How clean do you think they're actually cleaning those machines? I've worked a fucking $8 an hour job when I was 16 years old. Trust me, okay? I had better things to do than to worry about your fucking fat ass. So anyways, this person goes to the gym. They go through the whole thing. They use the same showers, like, and then on their way home, they say, hey, you know what? I'll pick up some dinners. Then they go to the restaurant, they pick up some dinner, and then they finally eventually go home to their family, which their family, let's say the kids went to school, interacted in their own way, like, and then their wife went to work and interacted in their own way. One household alone. In a real pandemic, I'm talking, if you laid this out, like the amount of interactions with each other, one household would have like thousands upon thousands of interactions because of all the other people who have also interacted with the same people that they interacted with. Like, do you see how that multiplies within itself? That's why in a real pandemic, everything that we are doing right now would not fucking fly. Your stupid mask and your stupid 6 feet distance, okay, don't do shit. And your experimental vaccine doesn't do fucking shit either, okay? How about we use our brain? So, I get so fired up just thinking about how stupid these people are. And so, let's pull it back. Okay, let's pull it back. Let's get back to what I was talking about. You know, these people, they talk about like not seeing their family for almost a year because they're being a good citizen. And their family's, what, 10 minutes away, an hour away, maybe a few hours drive away. I think it's absolutely insane. You know, I could drive for 100 fucking hours and I would still never be able to see my parents. Like, they're not here. It doesn't matter. You have to drive, what, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 hours to go see your family? Maybe in the next province, maybe in the other province, maybe in the other state, whatever it is. And you don't because of some fucking virus where you're putting your life at risk in so many other ways. What happens if you go sideways on the road and you get hit and you get killed and you haven't seen your family for a year? What happens if they get sick and you're afraid of COVID, so you don't get to see them, or you're not allowed to see them when they're in the hospital and then they fucking die. And you hadn't seen them for a year. There are so many other things. Like I said, you are 40 times more likely to die from something else other than COVID. 8 times more likely to die from fucking cancer. This is the crazy world that we live in. And this is why I just kind of like pulled back even more. I've canceled my gym membership. I don't even like, I can't be around these people. I go to the grocery store when I need to. And, you know, I'll buy on Amazon. I try to limit my with people. You know, I just can't with these people. I just can't. This is the world. It's like, you son of a bitch. You have the ability and the opportunity to be able to go see your family, and you don't because of some stupid fucking virus that has a 99.9% survival rate. I don't have that ability to. Like I said, I can drive for 100 fucking hours and I still won't ever get to see them again. And you have the ability to be able to drive a few hours and go see them, but you don't for an entire fucking year? The nerve you have. And you try to wear that like a badge of honor. Oh, it is taking everything in my power not to want to punch you in the face right now. Just seriously. Seriously. But that's the world we live in. That's the world. It's just crazy. So, if you're listening to this podcast, so like, you know, you, like, I'm sure you have a certain view on COVID already. You probably see the same kind of stuff that I do as well. So you probably already do see your family. However, I bet that there are a couple of you who do listen to this podcast, and you might be stuck between the two. You're kind of stuck in this weird world of like, I believe the news, or at least I thought I did. He seems to make sense. I don't really know what's right and what's wrong. If I go this way, my family's going to hate me. If I go that way, I'm going to be accepted by society. That's a rough road to travel. I've gone against the grain for a lot of my life. And I'll tell you one thing, it doesn't necessarily get easier. In a way, it almost gets harder the more you separate from people, because the more you see how idiotic the world is and how upside down it is. And then the more you just want to go to Mars. You're like, I'm done with you people. Like, there is just no making any sense or getting any sense into you whatsoever. I just want to go away. Okay, I just want to be left alone. There's just no, like, you guys are crazy. You guys are literally zombies. Literally, 100%. You're brainwashed. You're trying to eat my brains. Stay away. I will not let you. Go drink your fluoride water with your fucking experimental vaccines and your aluminum fucking armpit deodorant. Like, but yeah, that is the world that we live in, where people are afraid of something that most likely will not affect them, will not hurt them, will not harm them, and they are not seeing their family. And if your family does get sick, you're not allowed to see them when they're in the hospital. So, and if you want to have a funeral, a get together, well, guess what? You got restrictions there too, right? So go see your family that you want to see. If there's family that you want to see, go see them. Because you don't know how long you have on this life. You don't know how long they have on this life. There's risks you got to take in life. And sometimes we have to take it. But this COVID is not a risk. I'll flat out tell you that right now. It's not a risk. Okay. Like I said, if anybody should be dead from this whole virus, it should be me. All right. So, but here I am, thriving, living life, doing my thing, and let's take on 2020. 2021, I mean. 2021. People think 2020 was a wild ride. Just wait until 2021. We're just getting started in this, baby. Oh, boy. All right. Well, anyways, let me know what you thought about this podcast. I hope that you enjoyed it. I hope that you learned something. And I hope that I get to see your success down the road. Talk to you later, Nathan.
See ya.